and it shall be given him, verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So we must realize as we go back to Acts 16 in our midnight Bible story that certainly our apostle Paul had already requested the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord to help him and Silas through the dark midnight hours of Acts 16. Faced in a foreign country, in a foreign jail with foreign laws, and a lot of foreign things going on here. Need some wisdom on how to deal with this. If he was going to do it on his own, he would still be there, right? You know, probably. So, be it known that when we get back here to Acts 16, we find the Apostle Paul full of the wisdom of the Holy Ghost on this dark midnight, perceiving that the jailer was about to take his own life, so he cried out with a loud voice in Acts 16:28, "Do thyself no harm, Mr. Jailer guy, for we are all here." Now, how did he know that? By faith, right? Now, I want to take a little time with this. It's not unusual. We take a lot of time, don't we, Scott, going over stuff. There's a couple of perspectives to view this scene. And one is from the heart of Paul, a man full of the Holy Ghost, a man who is living by faith, a race course runner, and a potential full overcomer, a man who in his heart knows that the Lord has really now given him the keys to the city of Philippi. And with these keys that the Lord has given him here, in all these situations and events that's taken place this midnight hour, it's really unlocked to him all of Macedonia. So there's a lot more than what we're just reading here going on. And Paul now realizes by faith that the Lord has indeed put Paul in charge of this prison here at this midnight hour. Look at those words. Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Who's in charge here? The jailer's about to kill himself, right? The Lord's in charge here. And the very same Holy Ghost who made known unto Paul the jailer's intention to kill himself also assured Paul that all the prisoners were still present and accounted for. And there wasn't any lights on. It was midnight. It was a dark midnight hour. The light doesn't come in until verse 29. So it's dark. He knew this. He was a man of faith. And it was the Lord who gave Paul this wisdom and knowledge at this dark midnight hour. Paul saw things with a full assurance of faith even before a light was brought in. There also was an overwhelming presence of the Lord that was felt by all the prisoners because of Paul and Silas's midnight prayer and praises. And a sense of relief must have been felt by all the prisoners for the divine protection given them by the Lord or somebody. They knew it was probably the Lord, huh? What do you think? By the Lord, it was the Lord. During this great earthquake they just experienced, nobody got killed, and all were set free by this earthquake. Nobody got hurt. The roof didn't collapse. If there was a roof, no, the walls didn't fall in on them. So, even though he couldn't see, Paul knew that they were set free by the Lord this midnight, and he knew that we are all here in Acts 16:28. The implied in this statement is the thought, this statement, we are all here, is under the protection of the Lord. So, thus, the statement, no harm has come upon us. Do thyself no harm to the jailer. Now, we discussed in the last couple of weeks how these Philippian prisoners were truly privileged to hear on this dark midnight encouraging and enlightened Holy Ghost-inspired words of prayer and praise from our suffering apostles, Paul and Silas, which they had, these prisoners, had listened to them attentively. And we also noted that these words of praise and songs of rejoicing that Paul and Silas sang were gladly received by the prisoners, for after being set free by the Lord himself in verse 27, none of the prisoners tried to escape. That's unusual, but why did this happen? Why? Well, it was dark for one, but, you know, there's a double meaning here that we should see in our text of Acts 16. Physically, the prisoners were set free during the time of this earthquake by a force greater than the earthquake. They knew that. And this force was the Lord himself releasing these captives from their physical bondage. But spiritually speaking, these very same prisoners had on this very night received in their ears words from the Apostle Paul himself and Silas, men full of the Holy Ghost. They were different. When other prisoners weren't singing and singing praises to God at midnight, it was only two, Paul and Silas. And these words the prisoners had heard from Paul and Silas were in the form of prayers and songs of praises from these new prisoners, Paul and Silas. And their message pricked the sinful hearts of these other prisoners to the point that they were ready to receive Jesus into their hearts too. And perhaps they did. And if so, then these believing prisoners were also set free from their bonds of sin. And this very may be one of the reasons why they didn't try to escape, because they were now truly free indeed. And besides, they probably thought, well, where would we go? We just heard the best message we'd ever heard. And why leave this message? Go back to John 6. These prisoners were a little bit, I think, kind of like the disciples that Jesus, the disciples of Jesus back in John 6. And in John 6, we find Jesus talking to his disciples after he had given the great discourse on the bread of life, starting in John 6:63, we read this: it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Well, that's the same way it was with the words Paul and Silas were saying. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Verse 65, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Back in Acts 16, our prisoners had heard for the first time words of eternal life. And it was these words that Paul and Silas spoke that kept them captive, though they had been set free. Now, let's look at this midnight scene. We've looked at it from the perspective of the Apostle Paul. Let's look at it from the perspective of the jailer. His instructions from the magistrates in verse 23 were to keep Paul and Silas safely. So imagine the adrenaline that was flowing through the veins of the jailer, having been startled out of a deep sleep at midnight by a great earthquake so powerful that it shook the very foundations of the prison, causing all the prison doors to fly open. Now, that would startle you. And you'd get a rush of adrenaline from the unexpected like that. And then the jailer's adrenaline would kick up a notch as he made the assumption, because your mind will play a lot of tricks on you in the dark, he made the assumption that these two men, Paul and Silas, who were to be kept securely by him so they couldn't escape, they must have escaped. The doors are open. Additionally, then, through his mind, came the thought, oh no, maybe all of them have escaped. And so with such a mindset and with such an adrenaline rush, the jailer's thinking was, there's only one way out for me. I got to take my own life. I'm dead anyway. And as it was at this moment that the Holy Ghost prompted Paul to cry out with an urgent tone in his loudest voice, the words of wisdom and knowledge we talked about earlier. Do thyself no harm, for we are all here, in Acts 16:28. The skeptical jailer, shaking and trembling, you know how it is, then called for a light. And we read this in Acts 16:29. So everything before that was still in the darkness. Then he, that is the jailer, called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Well, where were Paul and Silas? They were right where the jailer had put them. In verse 24, when he thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. But there was one difference. The Lord had now loosened their stocks, according to verse 26. And the Lord had also set all the other prisoners' bands free too. But they all were still in prison as the jailer's light, or maybe more than one light, now revealed. And Paul and Silas were still in their filthy cell, because it wasn't a pleasant place where they were kept. The jailer, we are told, then sprang in. That is, he rushed into Paul and Silas' cell. And then we further note that the jailer came trembling. And the Greek word here, translated trembling, is entremos. It's number 1790 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. And it's a word that's only found three times in New Testament scripture. It's in here in our text of Acts 16:29, entremos means trembling with fear. The other two times we find this word, entremos, is in Acts 7 and in Hebrews 12. We're going to turn there. Both of those go to Acts 7. And in both instances, there is a reference to Moses recorded. In Acts 7, we find Stephen's sermon that he preached, and he gives the following account concerning Moses, starting in Acts 7:30. And when 40 years were expired, he's talking about Moses, there appeared unto him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled, intermost, that's that same word, and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Note here that Moses here trembled for fear at the presence of the Lord. Now go to Hebrews 12. We read this word intermost one more time in Hebrews 12. We'll start in verse 18. Again, the reference is to Moses. Again, it's a little bit a different scene. For we are not come, Hebrews 12:18. For we are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that word should not be spoken to them any more. Verse 20, for they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touching the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. The word quake here is that same word, the Greek word intimos again, which means I am trembling. Okay? So we see that on at least two different occasions, Moses trembled for fear at the presence of the Lord. Now back to our Philippian jailer in Acts 16:29. He was doing the very same thing that Moses did. He was trembling for fear, and beyond what you can imagine, because he was trembling for fear at the presence of the Lord, which was made manifest to him by the earthquake in combination with the words and deeds of the apostles, Paul and Silas, whom he already knew before he threw them in jail to be servants of the Most High God. It wasn't pooey-pooey now in his mind. They were servants of the Most High God. I better really watch my step here, he said. He was thinking. And the servants of the Most High God furthermore would show to us the way of salvation. These were the very words that caused Paul and Silas to be put in prison in the first place. And even though they were spoken by that soothsayer, they were true. These words were true. And so next in Acts 16:29, after springing into the cell, we read that the jailer fell down before Paul and Silas. He fell down in that filthy cell, and he fell down before the very feet of the apostles, whose feet he had made fast in the stocks earlier. So why did the jailer fall down before Paul and Silas? Well, probably more than one reason. For one thing, he was now grateful that Paul had prevented him from taking his own life moments before, when Paul cried out with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here, in verse 28. And the other reason the jailer fell down before Paul and Silas was to show them a token of civil respect, which was the custom of the Eastern people of Paul's day. Well, I hope you got something out of this today. We talked about a lot of things, a lot of thoughts that you might not have thought about before. If the Lord tarries, and Lord willing, we'll pick up from there next time.